Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 43 of Here You Go. Today, I have another special guest joining me in conversation, Maria Glasanova, an English language teacher based in Ukraine. And I'm going to let Mary introduce herself to you in just a moment. But before she does, I'd just like to remind you that these conversations with English language teachers are longer episodes. So if you need to listen in parts, please remember you have that option. As I said, my guest is Maria Glasanova. We met online in September of 2020 when we were both part of the inaugural, that is the very first edition of the Dog Me course with Scott Thornbury offered by ITDI. I'll post a link in the program notes because this course continues to be offered and it's definitely worth it. Once the course was over, none of us wanted to give up our weekly Sunday chats. So Mary took the helm and started hosting Sunday chats for about a year. In the worst part of the pandemic, these internet connections became lifesavers, and I'm grateful to have had them and met so many fabulous teachers. Our story gets even better, though, in that Mary spent a year in Toronto, and we had several opportunities to get together in person. I'm humbled to count Mary as a friend. I admire her very much, and I know she has loads to share with us today. We're going to talk about burnout, Dog Me, her pivot to the tech industry, and finally, a little bit about pronunciation. Are you ready? Here we go. Welcome, Mary.
Hello, Catherine. Oh my God, what an introduction. I'm blushing.
Well, it's all true. And so without further ado, please introduce yourself to listeners. Tell us who you are, what you do, and anything you really want to share with listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much. First of all, Catherine, thank you so much for inviting me. I feel, so good in your presence. I really value you as a friend and I value our time together and during this course with Scott Thornbury, of course, and in Toronto and during the course, your pronunciation course for teachers. Honestly, it's amazing. I'm really glad that we met. Seriously.
Definitely. I think it was fate. The universe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right. So a few words about me. Oh, that's a tough one. Where to start, you know? I have like so much to share, I would say, like different angles. I think I will share my current one, okay? I'm a tech English communication coach, and I specialize in empowering tech professionals to skyrocket their careers so they feel really confident with advanced English communication skills. Okay. And I would like to say a few words, why communication skills? Because it's a little bit more, it's a lot more than the language, you know, it's
sure.
Like all different things, you know, the mindset, and language and like a lot of different things. And I'm really passionate about that because it's my way of like my active way of practicing peace and deeper meaning.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Yeah, because I feel that, and I have always felt that way, to be honest, that communication really helps people understand each other, find common ground, and make us feel seen, heard, and valued, and reduce aggression. And that's really valuable for me. That's why I've always actually worked in this way, in this area, one way or another. And right now, I just chose to completely kind of go in this way. And I have definitely no regrets. I also did some Dog Me teacher training. And I wrote a book a few years ago for teachers, how to reduce your time preparing for online classes and prevent emotional burnout. That honestly was a huge part. We will talk about it.
Yeah.
would love to share some things about that, definitely a little bit later, right? So that's basically what I first of all wanted to share as my introduction, just a few words about myself for the start.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I think we're on the same page, you and I, in terms of we technically teach English, but it's not really about the language a lot of the time, especially when you work with advanced speakers of English. We'll get into that some more later. But on the topic of English and language, I always like to ask my guests, what drew you to English? And why English?
I love that question. Honestly, it was love at first sight.
Ah.
I was lucky.
You were starstruck.
Something like that. I just fell in love from the first moment I met this English language, and I was actually in the first grade. And I was also really lucky to have great teachers who inspired me also in that direction. And what I liked about the language from the start was that elegance and the way it sounded, and minimalism, because, for example, in my native language, we structure the sentences in a different way, and it's also like flowing, and usually they're like long sentences and descriptions and everything, and it is structured in a different way. And English, it tends to be more minimalistic, you know, and I like that about this language. And it has always brought some clarity to my mind, you know, and like whenever I felt whatever emotion, you know, stable or upset or something like that, you know, English helped me to regain the stability, some clarity in my mind. And it was precious. I think I didn't understand that at those moments or something. It always made me feel better somehow. It was my source of some inner strength or inner power. I don't know how, like, if that makes sense, but that's, you know, what it was for me. And it like till this moment, basically, I have been learning this language for 25 years, still learning, and will never stop, you know. And I love it. I absolutely love, I have always loved like every moment of this journey, seriously. So I think I was just lucky, and I really had great teachers. And I will tell you also about my sister. She was also, in a way, my teacher. That's how I, that's because you see, at school, I also had the same situation that I learned grammar, vocabulary, and all those things, but I couldn't speak. I mean, I'm not an exception, right? And my sister, she was very creative, in a way, even brutal, to be honest, because she never taught me. I mean, it was just impossible. We didn't have patience for each other, for sure. But what she did was even better, because she would always take me to, you know, to see her friends. She had a lot of friends. She was an interpreter and so on. So she did a lot of things connected to English. And she would just put me in front of her friends, just, you know, say, okay, this is my sister Masha, go. That's all she did.
Wow. Trial by fire.
Oh my God. At first it was like, oh my God, you know, like panic and everything in between. But very soon, like really very soon, I started to get the taste of, you know, kind of getting my message across and communicating, you know, not, you know, like in totally imperfect way, but people would understand me somehow, and we would be connecting. I mean, I would be connecting from the person, I don't know, like with the person from, I don't know, Chicago or something, right? And it was interesting, like another person, another world, another culture. So that started to dawn on me that English is such a huge connecting force. You know, it connects people from all these walks of life, all these backgrounds, all these ages. So it just transcends these limitations. And yeah, it was, I think, the whole new level for me, you know. So I think my sister pushed me in that direction, not very gently, but I'm grateful to her.
Of course, yes, yes. Well, and the rest of us reap the benefits of her sort of dropping you into that situation. I want to actually follow up with, so your sister as a teacher, but you've also shared with me that you were also very inspired by your granny. Is that one of the reasons, sort of that these personal influences that also drew you to teaching?
I think so. It's always a combination of different things. My granny, she used to be a teacher at the university to some PhD students for, I don't know, 35 years, I think. Can you imagine? I don't know German. This is the funny part. She was a German teacher. I don't know like anything in German language. But that's not the point. I think she always led by example. So that's her kind of leadership style in a way. She never told me or something, you know, or told me about the profession. But the way she behaved, the way she brought us up together with my sister, and these values that teacherhood, can I say teacherhood?
Yeah, well, sure, why not? We make up words all the time.
Yeah, right? My clients always do that. Why not me? Mm-hmm. So, so like the values, I think she instilled that in me that I even didn't realize it also at that moment in my childhood, but it was there. And I also wanted to share one particular moment that influenced me a lot in that direction, why I became a teacher, to be honest. My first students were actually, so I got them when I was in 11th form, 11th grade.
Okay.
I was really good at English. Everybody knew at school. And I remember a lady just came to me and she offered me a job, basically. She just, could you be like a tutor for my daughter? She really needs some help. And I see that you're, yeah, amazing at English. So could you please help? Of course, I said yes. I mean, it was like a valid job, you know, with payment and everything. It was like,
for
oh,
sure.
I'm so excited. Yes. And I remember when I had those classes, it was a little bit like a dogma style in a way. So she would come. And we had, of course, some exercises that she needed to do for her school. But, you know, she had really, how to say, like difficult childhood, difficult situation at home. She didn't have friends and so on. So she sometimes would come and just started to share with me some stories. She tried, of course, to say something in English. So it was like a mixture of the native language and something like in English. And oh my God, she felt so inspired after that because she felt that she was heard. She was seen, you know, she was understood. And and I just felt that I was able to give her that gift of that, you know.
And
yeah, that was just, that blew my mind. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. But that was really touching, you know. And whenever I would come to school, she would just be running to me and just, you know, just hugging me because that meant a lot, you know. Oh gosh.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And isn't it stunning? It goes back to what you said about connection, creating connection. And I hadn't considered it before until I started learning more from other teachers that do journaling and really encourage journaling with their students and journaling in another language, and how there's something very cathartic about finding words to express yourself in another language that maybe you can't do in your native language because it feels too close. My guest Sarah Morgan talked about that it wasn't until she could, it was in finding the way to express herself in Spanish that the healing began, that she could get to those emotions and the anxiety because it didn't feel so close with her first language of English. And I'm wondering if for your student, it was that there was this liberty to kind of let go in English to connect with you.
Oh, wow. I never thought about it this way. I think it did in a way, because yeah. It was so meaningful to her. She would just like run to these classes, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a very interesting point, actually, because I saw how she was, you know, feeling freer inside, you know. I think, you know, some kind of healing process was definitely going on, you know. And well, I could also relate to her because, well, I didn't have much communication at home, to be honest, as well, you know. So I kind of, to some extent, right, I could relate, and I tried my best to give her that, you know, that I also felt sometimes, you know, that was lacking, you know.
Yeah,
so that particular moment, I think it really influenced me and it changed something in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also like creative at school and everything, so I really didn't know where to go next. So I considered definitely some, you know, teaching professions. I applied there, but I also applied in theatrical university because it just like it's about everything, dancing, yeah. You know, stage, mm-hmm. and things like that, and it attracted me. But after a while, so I had like so I studied there for a while. I did some movies and all that stuff. But you know what, when I really got into that profession, you know, with all the, you know, not the glamorous part, okay,
yeah, but the work part,
the work part, the backstage and everything, and there is so much dirty stuff there, you know, that I just couldn't handle.
Mm-hmm.
Not even couldn't handle, I yeah, it was it kind of tried to compromise my integrity, and it wasn't aligned with my values. That, of course, I was like protecting ruthlessly, mm-hmm. I would say. So I, like, without no regrets, I just said no to all that stuff. And I went back to that girl, you know, in my mind, you know, like, okay, what do I really want? You know, I would like to create meaning and, you know, create this understanding between people. So I basically went back to that girl, right? And I just came back to teaching, and I have never changed basically that at all. I'm like so happy about it. All my family is happy about that. Actually, my granny is just like, oh my God, that's so good. And you're not an actress anymore. It's so hard. You know, like, oh, granny, oh, believe me. Yeah, I can enjoy still, you know, like, you know, movies and acting and everything, but I don't want to be there. You know, I took some skills. I'm using a lot of those moments, I would say, but not everything. And I'm really happy about that.
Well, and again, we're the beneficiaries of that decision. So we're all, I think, happy to have you in this world, not on screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it's difficult though to be in communication, connection with students. When we're a teacher, we do have these moments that can be quite emotional with learners, that over time can maybe contribute a bit to burnout, in addition to all the teaching tasks that when we're trained to be a teacher, lesson planning and trying to make sure we cover all the bases and assessment and tests and all that stuff that we both probably began with a little bit in our teaching careers. But you did, you've mentioned the dog me approach that was sort of always a part of what you were doing. When did you really grab onto that approach, and how was it connected to burnout, which so many teachers do get exhausted over time by the demands of the job? Not that they don't love it. but that it can really take its toll.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you can burn out not only because you might hate your job, sort of.
Yeah.
Or just get, I don't know, really exhausted, but also because you really love your job, right? And you start overworking, overdoing, and all that stuff. Great question. And what I can say that, so I decided to go into the teaching direction. And of course, I did a lot of training, including CELTA, because I thought it would make me a better teacher. But what it did, in my experience, once again, experiences are different, but what it did to me personally, that it put me into huge, you know, like and really rigid constraints and limitations, you know, and all this excessive too much planning, really like over planning and everything. And I also had those like different groups, and I had curriculums, course books, and I had to follow, well, certain structure. And and I also saw that, you know, there was so much material, so much of excess, like just like too much of everything. Mm-hmm. And I tried to balance between all that over planning and all those things that, you know, students, they didn't feel the need for, but I had to do that because it was in the curriculum. And I tried to personalize it, of course, to, you know, to some extent for them. So kind of to make, you know, to make things work. But the disconnection was growing between me and students, you know, because I felt that I wasn't really able to respond 100% to their interests right here, right now, spontaneous. Yeah. We would start our classes, you know, in this way. So how is it going? They would, you know, light up and immediately tell me, and we would kind of do the emergent language, basically, that I didn't know that I was doing, but I was doing that. I mean, I didn't have like the word for that, but yeah, so we would kind of work a little bit on that. And it was like the liveliest part of the lesson. And then we would, okay, guys, but yeah, what about your homework?
Yeah.
Go to course book, and they were like, hey, you know, like, okay, you know, and I did that for some time, and then it was just like worse and worse for me also, because I tried, you know, and I was also emotionally investing, but, you know, I was also in a lot of cases just hitting the wall. And until there was actually a moment when, you know, I was already in the severe burnout. I even like wasn't realizing that. That's actually the danger of burnout, that you don't really realize that. Oh, gosh. But you just keep pushing because, you know, because you're a good person. Yeah. You try to do your best. And I went to the teacher's room one day. And there was this teacher, my colleague, who was really not in a good place. She was really desperate and frustrated, and she was, you know, just covering her head, almost crying. And she was saying, you know, I just don't know what to do. I'm in this loop of preparing for the class. Then I have the class. Then it's almost like evening. Like, and then I just started this all over again. I don't have life. Mm-hmm. I feel like a machine. And there is no way out. Oh. And when she said that, you know, oh God, again, I'm starting to be emotional. What's happening here? Okay, but that's, you know, that's how it is, because we talk really like the most emotional part, like moments. And that was one of that. And that really hit me, because I understood that I was in the same situation, that I couldn't even, you know, like confess to myself that I was, you know, going through that. So I realized that for myself. I realized, you know, like the scale of that. And I just got so angry, like so pissed off at myself, at the situation. And I just refused to accept it, that there is no way out. I just I think that was the moment of change, you know, enough was enough, you know, like, okay, when people ask me, like, when is it enough, you know, and that was enough for me. And I decided to, you know, quit that job. And, you know, I didn't have a plan, but I had a kind of plan for me that I decided, okay, I want to make a change. And I also want to help teachers like this teacher. And I'm pretty sure there are like a lot more teachers like that, to show that, you know, there is another way. And I think right the next day, I was on Facebook and I was just, I don't know, cruising, scrolling, whatever. And I came across that ITDI advertisement with Scott Thornbury and Dog Me approach and everything. And it hit me because during the CELTA, they did some presentations of different methodologies and everything. And Dog Me, it was one of them. And basically, just 5 minutes of that presentation really, you know, was worth the whole course, to be honest, because it really intrigued me. And that's why when I just saw it, it just, I don't know, it resonated with me like 100%. I just knew, okay, I gotta be there. That's it. Yes, it's expensive. So what? I will find money, you know, and that's what I did. And that's what I did. And it changed basically the whole direction, you know, how I kind of went afterwards, because it gave me a breath of fresh air. It gave me that freedom that I really lacked, you know. And and when I just went there, I just went deeper and deeper also into some coaching, language coaching and everything. Oh my god, I finally was able to, I don't know, breathe again and found some passion inside of me again, you know. I wasn't, you know, and I also understood that what I had done before wasn't weird or strange. It was actually valid, you know. So I think it was like a burden off my shoulders.
So why don't we take a few minutes and you tell us about your book, and in addition to, you know, why you wrote it, what's it, who's it for, how do they benefit, and of course at the end of the episode I'll also put a link to so people can buy it if they don't already have it.
Thank you so much. Sure. It's actually a big chapter, I would say, in my life. And basically what I did, because, you know, when you're having burnout, it's very common, I think that you are alone in this. That's what, you know, burnout can, I don't know, make you feel in a way. And that's how I felt at some points, I would say. So my idea behind it was to share my journey, to share my burnout experience, you know, just how it happened without, you know, sugarcoating it or anything like that. Just, you know, how it happened, why it happened, and then my journey out of it, and some experiments and some explorations that I did with students afterwards. Because honestly, my results before and after Dog Me and coaching with students, so they were like completely different, different. So of course I wanted to share that. And and whoever, by the way, some people who read my book, they also told me, you know, it feels like a hug when I'm reading it, you know. And that's what I wanted to put into the book, you know, that guys, you're not alone. And here I am just beside you, you know. I've been through that. I don't want you to go there. Here's the journey. Here are the tools, or, you know, tips and whatever. So I try to make it as practical as possible. That was basically my idea behind it, why I did that. And it's even more than that, to be honest. I didn't know this at that time, I would say. So I published it, of course, and I would say some teachers benefited from that and wrote to me. And till today, by the way, I'm not already promoting it right now, like at all, to be honest. But still, teachers reach out to me from time to time, and they just share amazing stories. And I can't believe sometimes, you know, that, you know, it's possible that just writing one, I don't know, small book, I would say, it's not really a big one. Yeah, I think you can read it, I don't know, in a few hours, in an hour, if you're like a really fast reader. Yeah. But something clicks inside, you know, because it's basically my experience, you know, together with another person's experience, and it can create something, I don't know, something else, something different. And also, what I'm really grateful for is actually, I can say that this book saved my life.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, but that's what it is. Because when the war started, and well, thanks to this book, I created a lot of connections, a lot of friends, and all these discussions and everything. And when the war started, of course, a lot of people just started to reach out to me how they can help, or like one way or another. And some guys, they actually helped me too, because it was not easy to leave Kyiv at that time, because, you know, it was under attack. And some of my friends, basically from this new network, new circle, they helped me to get to Poland. I don't know, I spent nights at some, like, people that I don't know, but they were friends of friends of friends, you know, all these people. So basically, that's how I kind of got through my journey, you know, and I lived in Poland for a few months, and then I to Canada. So, and then other guys, they started to promote my book like crazy, you know. And of course, I received some revenue for that. I received some money, and it was really helpful during those critical times, you know, to help me and my family. So I can definitely say that this book is really precious to me, and it literally saved my life. It's not like metaphorical thing. You know, so
well, I remember those days. I was very concerned for you, and I do remember that there was this effort to let's do everything we can to help Mary, and your book is such a valuable resource. It's not like people were, it's not like it's charity. It's you get a valuable resource. And what I love about the book is for people who are new to DogMe, you know, it's, I think of it as it's an approach. It's not a method to me, because each teacher is going to put their own spin on it, and it changes with each client that you work with. But it's an approach. And because there's not clear examples of like, oh, well, if you're teaching in a DogMe style, you do this and this and this, you know, there it can be hard to grasp for learners as well as teachers. Like, what are we doing here? But your book, you offer some concrete examples of things you have done in a classroom that has brought results, outcomes that we can see. And those are buzzwords, right? Teachers, if they're working in schools or even just our own thought processes, okay, if I'm going to do this, what's the outcome? Where do I want to get my student? And we're always looking for progress, but sometimes it's hard to put it in a rubric of this is what the progress looks like. But so to me, what's valuable about your book is those, this is the approach, but then these are some concrete things you can do. And they are examples of teaching. They are examples of eliciting communication. And so I think it's good for both learners and teachers to see those examples. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And I would say that was my idea, my desire behind it, you know, to do it actually in that way, because I just know that a lot of teachers, they are struggling to grasp, you know, the DogMe, this concept, because they are not so straightforward sometimes, you know. So I just tried kind of to write down some experiments, you know, as I was actually doing some some of them. So that would be more tangible example for that. And I also wanted to mention that that's how I got a job, because, well, I lost everything. I lost my job, and I lost all my students, you know, so I was like completely in a not a good place, let's say. And because, you know, people started to share my book, and one lady in Germany, she read my book and she offered me a job. You know what? Yeah, of course I had some demo lesson and everything, but she completely trusted me. You know what? I really loved like the way you teach, and that's what I would like. And I'm still working actually for that German company till now as a freelancer, just like a part-time. But Yeah, and it was like so valuable at that moment. So yeah, just like everything. So I kind of put some heart into that and some amazing things returned to me, you know, in a critical moment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's fast forward then, because we don't want to dwell in that difficult period. I don't want to bring
sure.
you back there.
Sure.
You then I had the pleasure of seeing you in Canada. And that was just really wonderful. I still treasure those long walks we took through Toronto, just looking around and talking and having heart to hearts. And hopefully one day we can do it again. But you then got back to Kyiv, and you have now sort of pivoted a little. Your clientele is much more specific. How did you get there? And what is it like to teach an Adogmi approach in your current niche, that word of the day?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So why it happened? Because when I was in Canada, it was also not an easy time for me as well. And basically, I had like two directions that I was pursuing. It was, of course, for teachers, direction, like Adogmi teacher training, and so training and so on. But at the same time, I also had my clients still, my students.
Mm-hmm.
And with tech professionals, you know, I have a long history because I have worked with them throughout all my career. And I always found, you know, some really good common language with them, because I have a part of me, you know, so one part of me is like super creative and dancing and everything, you know, and another part of me is actually super kind of precise and technical, because my parents were technicians, you know, my best friends are technicians, so I have a lot of relatives and friends, once again, in the tech industry. And I have this, I would say, this urge, this passion for, you know, practicality, for precision. Mm-hmm. It actually comes from my granny as well, you know. So I had that in me, and like detail oriented and everything. So and that's why I think I resonated with tech professionals a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy. I even didn't need to choose the niche, because it basically already chose me in a way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so at that, like, some moment I would say came where I had to choose. I couldn't do two directions at the same time. It was a painful decision, really painful one. But I just had to do it. I just had to choose one.
Okay.
And that's what I chose, right? And I chose because I also did a little bit, you know, like broader, like tech professionals. It was mm-hmm. like a mix of business and, I don't know, sales, and like from different, I would say, directions also. But at some point I decided, no, I actually, I would like to niche down, and in a very precise and specific way. And yeah, tech professionals were the first choice, because I think I have the most experience with them, you know, and I really enjoy working with them. So, and you're right. It's actually very interesting, because they are very practical.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to the class and let's just go, you know, you know, have like no direction or something. But, you know, it reminds me maybe such an analogy, like you're going on a trip mm-hmm. to, let's say, Paris, let's say something romantic, you know, Paris, right? And you really need to get like to the Eiffel Tower, right? You have some big goal, right? And you actually need to go. One thing you can, you know, like get there by completely know the route, you know, like where mm-hmm. you will, where you will eat and have breakfast and then have lunch and like it's like everything,
sure.
like mapping everything, and then you get there. And on another hand, yes, you might already, you need to get there, but how you get there, right? There might be, you know, some variations. So
That's
how it is for me, you know. So basically what I did is that I mix a certain framework. We definitely set some very specific and precise goals where we are mm-hmm. going, so they're like, okay, they feel relaxed that everything
right.
is under control.
They know the building that they're constructing or the bridge that they're trying to put together. Yes, the engineers with their methodology. Yes, okay, exactly. So they've got the goal. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah, because without it, it wouldn't work so nicely, you know, because they need some very clear understanding where we're going. And I definitely respect that, and I'm happy to give that to them. And then how we go there. This is already the time where we can be more flexible, you know, and basically use more of the DOGME approach. So I can say that I'm basically using both, you know, like DOGME approach and TBLT, task-based approach.
Yeah.
And language coaching, because we set, you know, very specific, like big goal, right? And also like measurable, the SMART goals and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it works for them and they love it, you know, because they have and they also don't want to be completely restricted, you know, and like, I don't know, control every step. They also appreciate the freedom at the same time, you know.
I'm
happy about that.
That's encouraging to hear that, because I think what it also speaks to is it doesn't matter how specific your niche is as a teacher,
mm-hmm.
there's always room to be flexible, right, within that, as long as you sort of have this border that outlines what's, you know, where you're going to be, where you're going, how, what you're going to build, but within that there are options.
Yeah. And I can say that they really appreciate this flexibility.
Yeah.
And so we both can breathe, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, we have this framework. We have a lot of, and they appreciate, of course, feedback, you know, because I'm giving feedback pretty often. I would say, no, it's once again, it's just because basically I build this program from scratch and I'm still, of course, based on, experience of my clients and how they respond to this program. Of course, I'm constantly learning and improving. I even actually myself started to take part in courses led by IT professionals.
Mm.
So basically me and everyone else is IT professional, you know, which is perfect because I can learn about them better. And I took this course, it's not technical, it's more about people skills, you know, building relationships and influence at all levels in engineering mm-hmm. groups. That's like the name of it. And I appreciate it because I can, you know, kind of learn everything, you know, from their point of view, you know, to really learn, you know, the structure of actually the industry.
Yeah.
The demands and their responsibilities and everything. So I kind of, it fascinates me a lot, you know? So I basically like becoming more like a neurosurgeon, you know, of this field, you know, like really going deep in it. I don't know. I love it.
That's fantastic. You're getting an inside, a bird's eye view of their industry, which only, can only help you better serve them. It
mm-hmm.
takes away the confusion of when they ask you a question and you're like, well, I don't know what they're talking about. You have a better idea of their context. So
mm-hmm.
good for you. I think it's also what you said about having some flexibility within the lessons. I think it speaks to the truth that English is really about a lot of choice. Now, I'm not an engineer. I was never a whiz at mathematics, but I'm sure that there are different ways of coming to an answer depending on the equations you use. But I do still feel that science and math are more direct in terms of getting from A to B. And the frustration, I think, with language is that, well, you could say it this way, or you could say it that way. It depends on your tone. It depends on who you're speaking to, who you're writing to, right? And that can sometimes be frustrating for learners when we say, well, yeah, that's right. This is better. This is worse, but they're all okay. How do you think your learners, like, do they respond well to all of the options that are available?
I can tell you more. Recently, I had a very funny conversation with my one technician, senior software engineer. Ah, no, he's a tech lead. And he told me, you know, Mary, when I was choosing the profession of a programmer, of course, I love coding and all that stuff, yes, yeah. But my main criteria was that it would be just me and my computer and nobody else, like nobody, because I'm not good at all this, you know, like people, you know, communicating and everything. And look at me now, I'm a tech lead and my profession is 99% consists of communicating with people, with my team. It's and a little bit of coding and technical stuff.
Yeah.
And there is a huge demand for communication skills in this industry because they are really good, like really good in a lot of cases in all these technicalities and all of that. And they don't need much of, I don't know, help there. But when it comes to communicating with people, oh my God, there are like so many problems there because they get frustrated, you know, like emotional, you know, and it's not only about the language, but just, you know, I would say it's like soft skills, like much more than just communication skills and definitely much more than the language. So I can say that they are, you know, really upset or something like, or confused by the variety of the language. They are pretty much okay when I say, oh, you can say it like that, you can say it like that. What really frustrates them more that actually sometimes, you know, they're dealing with, you know, just difficult situations, you know, or they don't feel comfortable or confident expressing their ideas, you know, and like speaking up. Or remember when I told you when I was in Canada and I was my sister, for example, she would invite me to go to her friends and they would be just talking almost without pausing. And I almost never had a chance to, you know, just like to contribute anything, you know, because I was waiting that they would just, you know, like, oh, Mary, what do you think? Or something, you know, just, or there would be at least some little pause in the conversation. So, yeah. And it was like, oh, my God, what's happening? And they're the same, you know, they're in the meeting, everybody just contributing and, you know, and yeah, and you gotta do something, right? So that's what they're struggling with, to make themselves heard, you know, seen. And that's how they, of course, like progress in their careers, you know. So yeah, they, I would say there's a lot of struggle there. Experience,
Okay, so maybe this is a good opportunity for us to talk a little bit about the pronunciation for teachers course that that I run and that you joined. And it is a Dogme inspired course. It's curated to the teachers in the group. So when people say, well, what do you do? I say, well, we kind of do what is important to you. So what materials you're using, what you want to focus on. It is about teachers if they have any pronunciation themselves that they want to work on. But I think the real value in my course is that it helps teachers teach pronunciation to their clients, to their learners. And we had an opportunity to kind of work with one of your learners in the course. So maybe you could tell listeners what that was like and how he benefited and you benefited. And I guess what I'm getting at too is that pronunciation is, I'll repeat this till the day I die, it's not accent. It is not those little tiny sounds that we think are in inhibiting connection. It's it's other things, right? It's not accent. It's not teeny tiny sounds. It's more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your course so much because honestly, I never really taught pronunciation much to my clients. You know, I didn't go into all the specific, all these details. I focused on other things. But then this software engineers started to come from different countries, you know, like Brazil, for example, and so on. And I literally, of course, I heard that, yes, it was not about the accent. I love accents, but there were some moments when I had a difficulty to understand what the person is saying. And that is a problem, you know, when they were not clear or just, you know, connecting the words in a way that that would be confusing to me as the listener.
Yeah.
And I understood, well, I cannot run from this anymore. I gotta do something about it, you know. And I remember that your course, actually, it was really timely, I would say. And I'm really appreciate that. And I reached out to you and I definitely like immediately enrolled because I know that you're like an amazing specialist with also like messy spoken communication because it's messy and we have to survive and deal with that, right?
Yes.
Even enjoy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I appreciate, of course, that it was more like in a dog me style that I was able also to contribute or to have questions that my clients were having questions with. So that was golden. And and I remember that there was this client of mine from Brazil, Cassio, and he wanted to record some videos on LinkedIn, and he basically just started. And of course, he was having some issues, yes, and with pronunciation and the way of presenting himself and everything. And it was really, really important that we worked with him through, you know, like pauses, stresses. So we kind of played around with that. So he understood that if you're, for example, stressing in different ways, it actually changes meaning, you know, so because he tended to, you know, to stress every word, you know, for example. And it made a huge difference already, even just like with these two things, right? Then we dived a little bit deeper, like connected speech and schwa and everything. And it helped him to, first of all, to be more understandable to people and not to rush anywhere, to make peace. So not to be so anxious about the way he talked, right? And kind of to be more like flowing in his speech, have this flow. And his colleagues started to tell him, you know, oh my God, you sound like a C1 level. Another guy told me, oh my God, you sound like a TV presenter. He was like, oh my God. Of course, he was like super excited and it boosted his confidence, to say the least, right? And of course, it helped me as a teacher as we were kind of going into all these details and dissecting, you know, and just like really looking at this from the inside. And I really appreciate that he was so hardworking, and he was really working, you know, on the sounds. You remember, because I shared with you also some of the recordings with his permission. So yeah, I think it's amazing. And of course, with other students and clients right now, because I also have them from all over the world, and they are non-native speakers. Of course, there are some moments in pronunciation that we need kind of to take care of. And it definitely pays off. So guys, if you're thinking, don't just enroll in Catherine's course, because honestly, it was, you know, from the beginning till the end, everything that you gave us was, you know, just like really to the point and effective. And I myself, you know, started to notice so much more, you know, so that's precious.
Oh, well, I didn't pay Mary to say that.
I know.
but I'm very grateful. And it was great for me to see Cassio's transformation. I loved that you would come like, okay, I think this is his problem. What do you guys think? And you got input from the other teachers, and then you would go back and you'd work with him, and then he'd do another video, and we could see that he'd applied what you had suggested. And it was so gratifying for me to see this trickle down from our work to him and then back again. And I think that what I love about working with teachers who are ready, like you, to, okay, I can't avoid this any longer. And that's what I keep reinforcing too. Like, you can and you should. People always think, oh, but it's not my first language, English. How do I teach pronunciation well? I think that's crap. I think anybody can and should teach pronunciation, because to me, language teachers have such a good language awareness. Like, you yourself came to class with, you know how to group words together. You know naturally, instinctively, how to speak in a flowing way. So much so that I don't think you even really thought about it. Right.
Exactly.
And so it was me. So I would say to the teachers in the group, did you notice how you paused here? Oh, no, I didn't. Did you notice you connected? Oh, no, I didn't. So it's pointing out that
exactly.
you are an incredible speaker of English, and that it's just like shining a light on, okay, and this is how I can then notice and help my clients.
Great awareness. So that's what was so precious about the course, right? Because all the time you were raising awareness, and that's amazing. Yeah, that's how, because yeah, exactly. When I came, I realized that I'm doing a lot of, as you say, instinctively. I don't realize a lot of things, of course. I mean, yeah. And when you started to point out on all those different things, that's exactly what I needed and what I basically came for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was really great. And I am so happy for you that you are able now to feel like, yeah, I can do anything with this group of tech people. I can. I applaud your continual professional development in really meaningful ways that bring direct benefit to the people you work with. And they're very lucky to have you as a coach. And so we could talk for another hour, I'm sure you and I, but it's time to wrap this up. Can you share with everybody how they can reach you, what you're currently running, if they want to work with you, how do they do that? So just, where can we find you, and what are you offering?
Thank you so much. And thank you for all your kind words that you shared. So basically right now I collaborate only with tech professionals at the moment.
Okay.
I'm working on some website and landing pages and everything at the moment. So they are still in progress, which is fine. And how you can reach me is basically on LinkedIn. So I'm mostly on LinkedIn these days.
Yeah.
Just DM me, and you can share, for example, Catherine, maybe the link, for example, to my LinkedIn.
I will.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And if you're a tech professional, yes, I offer a 10-week program, and basically we can set up a meeting, and then I usually just listen to the challenges that the person is experiencing, and then I share I would say the framework that I offer, because I can say that in a lot of cases, you know, the challenges are pretty similar. Yeah, and we just see, yeah, so the challenges, what I have to offer, and if we match, if I have the solution, of course, to these challenges, of course we collaborate. And well, if everything, you know, all of a sudden no matches, energy and everything, we collaborate. No, then no. So yeah, that's pretty like that.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'll definitely put the link to your LinkedIn page. Everybody will go follow you there. And I'm also going to put the link to the book From Burnout to, I forget the title. For me, it's just always Mary's book.
I forget it too, because it's too long, obviously. I forget it too often. So because
burnout
I
have the... to balance, that's it.
Yes, I have it in my hand as well. How to reduce your time preparing for online classes and prevent emotional burnout.
Yes. Everybody must own a copy of this book because it was a lifesaver for Mary in a very difficult time. And it will be a lifesaver to any teacher who is just really feeling like they need a little bit more freedom in their lessons. So I encourage everybody to buy it and buy it for every teacher you know as well. So. Yes, I'm not being paid to say that either.
I wanted to say that. Yes.
We really are each other's cheerleaders. And that's what I also love about this online community of teachers that we are a part of, is that there's a lot of support and kindness among a lot of us. And when we lift each other up, it just helps the whole profession, I believe. So thank you for being my guest today and sharing so much with us. And be safe, be well, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Catherine. It's been a pleasure, honestly. Actually, like from the moment of actually knowing you, you know, getting acquainted, you know, to this very moment. Yes, and thank you so much for inviting me and letting me to share different stories, you know, from my life. Yeah, I appreciate it. And thank you so much, guys, for listening, who will be listening, right, this podcast. I appreciate you.
All right. Okay. Bye, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Here You Go. Transcripts are now included in my newsletter. The link is in the podcast description. Can you do me a favor? Can you please subscribe to the podcast and, better yet, leave a review? I would love it if you shared the podcast with your friends. Remember, you can contact me on Instagram and on my website. You can find this information in the program notes. Our theme music is by Amos the Transparent, and you can link to their music in the program notes as well. I hope you'll continue to join me. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned for the next episode of Here You Go.